just going back to what Janine said, if you struggle with praying, then just talk with Jesus. So two Friday nights ago with the youth, we did the thing that you can see as you come in. And there was a whole speech that went with it that the young people did. I wrote it. And the line went like this. If you find it difficult to pray, don't talk to Jesus. The power of a comma. So when Ray got up to read it, because I didn't put a comma in, he said, if you find it difficult to pray, don't talk to Jesus. Matthew 25. Your young people are safe with us, I promise. When the Son of Man will come in all his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. This is Matthew 25, verse 32. And all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one people from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, and he will put the goats on his left. You guys made a bad decision this morning. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you prepared, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When were you a stranger and we invited you in? Or needed clothes and we clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, fortunately, I can't tell my left from my right, so I have to think about it. So I will be addressing this lot as much as this lot. And now I've lost my place. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison? Jesus. In prison and didn't help you. And he will reply, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is a deeply disturbing parable. If you are my age, and you grew up with Keith Green, in the back of your head, you can hear him banging the piano as he did a monologue on this. You need to check it out on Spotify. It's worth listening to. I guess the fear is that somehow we might have missed, that there might have been somebody in need and we weren't there to help. As a parable, it's really, really simple. But for various reasons, it's also deeply problematic. There are very many different ways to identify the three different groups mentioned, the sheep, the goats, the brothers and sisters. And however it is that you end up identifying these groups, you will discover that they merge in an uncomfortable way. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and he's overlooking Herod's temple. if you've ever seen the iconic photo of Jerusalem and the Dome of the Rock, that's the view that the disciples are looking at. Herod's temple was the largest religious compound in the ancient world. It was truly impressive. One of the wonders of the Roman world. It had to be seen to be believed, and they were rightly filled with pride. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on top of another. And then he goes on to explain the signs of his coming. And he starts to tell them what the second coming will be like. And he talks about nation rising against nation. And he talks about false messiahs. And he talks about the abomination of desolation. And he talks about the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds. And he says, all people will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. He talks about it being the same as the days of Noah. And then he talks about there being a separation. One will be taken and another will be left. And then having gone through all that, he gives a series of parables. This is classic rabbinic teaching. Give a teaching, illustrate it with parables. Here there are four parables, which is really unusual. The parable of the faithful servant, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the bags of gold, usually known as talents, but the Greek word doesn't have the idea of a skill in it. So bags of gold is better. And this last one, the sheep and the goats. And each of these picks up on a different aspect of the teaching about the second coming. And all of them have got things in common. There are wise and foolish. There are faithful and unfaithful. There are sheep and there are goats. And each one explains what Christ expects of us as we wait for that great and glorious day. In each of them, we are warned of a long delay. Because the four of these form a group, it's a little bit dangerous to take any one of them by itself. You really have to take all four of them to get a whole picture. Just like the people waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, the sheep and the goats look the same. Now, I bet you all think you can tell the difference between a sheep and a goat, don't you? You will think you are that intelligent. And I'm going to go with it. Yes, I think you probably can. The problem is, in the Middle East, the sheep don't look like our sheep. And the goats don't look like our goats. And if you go over there with a tour guide and you see a Bedouin leading some sheep, the tour guide will say to you, do you see those sheep? And you'll say, yes. And he'll say, no, those are goats. You really can't tell the difference unless you know what you're looking for. They look the same. And generally, they live together. They're going to be separated. They're going to be separated at night because that's when the difference between sheep and goats, sheep being a collective group animal and goats tending to be more individual, that's when their needs get more clearly seen. And that kind of fits what Jesus is saying here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The picture is Judgment Day. The Bible teaches that we will all be judged. Hebrews, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. You might think, as you sit through my sermons, you get to die many times. He's talking about physical death. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due to them for the things done while in the body, both good and bad. The Bible does what this parable doesn't. Parables are blunt instruments. And it tells us that judgment for believers and judgment for unbelievers are separate. It tells us that judgment for unbelievers is a judgment based on deeds, and it is a judgment for punishment. It tells us that judgment for believers is also based on deeds, but is a judgment for reward. And the problem here is the word judgment, because in our legal system, it doesn't quite work that way. You go to court for something, I don't know what it might be, speeding. Please feel free at the end of the service to ask Carolyn what happened on Rarotonga. I'm getting my own back because she gets to do a conference in Rarotonga, and I this weekend got to do one in South Auckland. It's not the same. First of all, there will be a whole heap of... You will appear before the judge to make a plea. Time will go by, sometimes months will go by before you come back before the judge for the judge to decide whether you are guilty or innocent. That is not the kind of judgment day that judgment day is. Then, if you are found guilty, again, there will be a long period before you come back in front of the judge for sentencing. So judgment day in the Bible is sentencing day. It is not the day in which you are found innocent or guilty. That day is the day of your death. On that day, whether you have believed in Jesus or whether you have not believed in Jesus, it is fixed and it is certain. That's why it's so important in this life that we respond to Christ. Because the moment of death is the last moment that you can do that. After that, there is no opportunity. There is simply sentencing. And when you understand that, that takes a little bit of the difficulty in this parable away. Because this is entirely based on works. And you will realize that judgment for reward and punishment is sentencing, is based on works. What makes the difference between these two groups is what they did. Whether they fed and clothed, or whether they ignored. As I said, parables are blunt instruments, and there is no denial here that you're saved by grace. There is no denial here that the only way you can come to Christ is in prayer, in faith, in believing. You'll notice that when the sheep and goats are separated, they are genuinely surprised. The sheep have no idea. What? When, Lord? When did we see you hungry and gave you something to eat? You know, I mean, we gave, to quote Keith Green, we invited lots of people in. But I'd never forget your face. And there's kind of a genuine surprise that what they did was actually done for Christ. And you get exactly the same with the goats. They are genuinely surprised. It never dawned on them that they hadn't done what they were supposed to do. So what was it that the sheep did? Well, they fed the hungry. And they gave water to the thirsty, not Lion Red. And they gave hospitality to those in need. And they gave clothes to those who were naked. And they gave care for those who were sick, and they visited those in prison. Now, before we sort of go further on to understand this parable, let's take a wild stab in the dark. Why do you think Jesus told this parable? What do you think his purpose was? So there are complex reasons, and there are simple reasons. Let's go with the simple ones. What do you think he wanted his disciples to do differently, having heard this parable. He wanted them to change their culture, but put it in simple terms. He wanted them to go and feed people in need. Right? It's not hard. He wanted them to go and, I mean, don't deliberately go and find naked people, but, you know, he wanted you to visit those who were in prison. He wanted you to look at the world around you and see the needs and do something about it. This is not complicated. I mean, the complicated answer is he wanted them to be ready for his second coming. But the simple answer is you just go out there and help people. This is not an exclusive list. He's not saying these are the only ways that you can help people. He's just giving these as illustrations. And he doesn't tell you how you're going to do it either. Now, you might have that mentality that when you listen to a parable like this, you look at it and you say, great, okay. Because I am an administrator by nature and an entrepreneur, I'm going to get sponsorship from a whole bunch of different companies in Hamilton. I am going to put together a feeding program, and we are going to feed 100 people every week for the next 10 years. That could be you. Or it could just be that when you come out of the supermarket, you buy something extra to give to somebody that you'd seen on the street. And it doesn't matter which of those two you do. It matters that you do. And to be honest, I feel like a cheapskate saying this. I feel really bad saying this, so please don't judge me. And, you know, don't tell anyone I said it. It's never been easier. It has never been easier. There are 100 organizations out there that will take your money to do exactly these things. And all you have to do is set up an AP. From Jesus' perspective, give a cup of cold water to a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. Jesus isn't even going to judge you. So, Tear Fund. Tear Fund is an awesome organization. They will change the life of somebody in need. And it will only cost you whatever it is these days. I think it's $45 a month. And you will get tear-stained letters saying, I could buy T-shirts for my child this week because of the money you sent. It is so easy. You've got to figure out how you're going to do it. That's all. It might be something that absorbs your whole life, or it might be something that takes you 10 minutes a week. But it has to be part of who you are and what you do. I have to say, I am feeling really convicted, because I've spent the last 2 days with a bunch of chaplains. And chaplaincy is an awesome thing. And these are people that spend their lives talking with those who are in need when they're in need. And I have to say, you sort of come away from that kind of a group feeling very inadequate and feeling like a minnow in a world full of whales. It's really quite cool. This is part of Jesus' teaching. Give to the one who asks for you, and do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. When you give to those in need, not if you give, when you give to those in need, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You will find this all across Jesus' teaching. You will find it all across the prophets. You will find it in John. You will find it in James. It's not an option. The only question is how you do it. The next question that has to be answered is a hard one. Because Jesus says you have to do this to the least of these, my brethren. The least of these, my brothers and sisters. So who's he talking about? Is he talking about the Jews here? Because you could make a case for that. You know, they are Jesus' brothers and sisters. Is he talking about believing Jews? Is he talking about apostles and disciples? Is he talking about all believers? Is he talking about everyone? Or is he just talking about the poor? Now, the problem is, however you identify this grouping, some of them are going to be sheep and some of them are going to be goats. They actually bleed in here because we're called to help those who are in need within the church and outside of the church. So if you're a little bit worried about who your brother and sister is, here's the deal. On one occasion, somebody had a very similar issue in the Bible. And they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, and he ended up quoting as the second greatest commandment, Leviticus, love your neighbor as yourself. And the person wanted to make sure he really got this, so he asked Jesus who his neighbor was. Rookie mistake. Only ever going to get you into trouble. And Jesus told a long story, the end of which was, the last person on earth you want to be your neighbor is your neighbor. So feel free. Feel free to ask Jesus who your brother and sister is. If you are hoping that he will give you a nice, safe, small answer, go ahead. But don't say I didn't warn you. You might just discover that whoever it is that's in need, when you've got the ability to help, is your brother or your sister. I guess the surprise in this passage, and again, just listen to Keith Green, you know, I mean, it's really awesome. You know, Jesus, when were you hungry? I mean, we never saw you hungry. One of the angels want to go out and get Jesus Maccas? It's not fair. We didn't know what size clothes you wore. How are we supposed to get you clothes? You know, and what were you in prison for? They didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize Jesus in the world around them. That creepy person. No, not the one sitting next to you now. That creepy person on the street. You know, when you sort of like walk past them, you just make sure you're alert. That person sniffing those little cylinders. Bag in front of their face. Know who that person is? That person's Jesus. You didn't recognize it. And if you help that person, you are helping Jesus. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. I want my life to be significant. And it's really cool when you get to do something that really makes a difference. Those moments are few and far between. Wouldn't it be absolutely awesome to stand and minister to Jesus? Wouldn't that make a difference? You know, Eleanor, when you're playing guitar and worshiping, leading, and you know, Jesus was sitting there next to Rebecca, how would you feel? I don't think he would sit next to Rebecca. I think he'd sit next to me. You'd feel really honored, wouldn't you? You'd feel really like, yes. So when you find someone in need and help them, that's exactly what you've just done. You have personally served Jesus. So who are the sheep and the goats? Not quite as clear-cut as it seems. Because You know, the way the rest of the parables treat this, most of them don't separate believers from unbelievers the way it would appear it is here. Most of them separate foolish and wise Christians. I could do a deep academic dive into this. I'm not going to. Be a sheep. Bah. Two destinations in this passage. Blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then there's the other group. Eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Eternal life and eternal punishment. The choice is yours. It's not based on deeds. Deeds come in as reward. It's based on whether or not you accept Christ. But the meaning of this parable is clear. We have to take care of those who are around us. What Jesus says here is kind of interesting, and it's always a bit dodgy interpreting parables because they are blunt instruments. But you might notice that he says that eternal fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for people. It was never God's intention that anyone should go there. In fact, he's gone to extreme lengths to make sure that that's not necessary. It wasn't prepared for humans, it was prepared for the devil and its angels. God sends no one to hell. Hell is a place we send ourselves. We send ourselves by refusing to believe in Jesus. We send ourselves every time we sin. And we choose our own way over his way. Dennis, who's out in Matamata this week, he said something a couple of years back which spoke to me because I was in the same kind of boat. He spent 30, 40 years teaching automotive at Waikato University, Waikato Polytechnic, WinTech. He made the comment, in 40 years, I have never failed a student. In 40 years, I have never failed a student. He then went on to add, they fail themselves. True. True, they didn't do the work. They put the effort into something else instead. And I get the point. As a Bible school lecturer for 25 years, I never failed a student. It's our choice. Judgment Day is the day when all wrongs get put right. And this parable is saying, live in light of that day. So, six things from this parable. Don't worry, they're bullet points. Judgment is real. Jesus is coming back. Heaven and hell are real. Wasn't your Sunday school teacher that made them up. Live today for your final destination. It matters how you treat people. And lastly, Jesus is all around you. Jesus is all around you. Everywhere you look, you will see Jesus. The question is whether you'll recognize him. I think I've said enough. If you are in total shock, there will be a prayer team up here afterwards to console you and to be nice to you. Awesome training happening this afternoon with the kids' church leaders, and blessing tonight. We'll see you then.